much have Baptist homes been affected by divorce and by the rising juvenile and adult crime rate? What is the Baptist prison population? How many of our people are we losing to other denominations, and why? To no church at all, and why? As many or more questions might be asked about the churches, their worship, educational and social activities, their success and failures in meeting the turbulent social changes, the extent of their acceptance of government subsidies of one sort or another. What have Southern Baptists and their churches contributed to the problems in the field of race relations, and what to the solution of the problems? As many or more questions might be asked about our ministers, it has been hard to get anything more than guesses as to their real educational level, their secular employment, their study habits, or their theological growth. Why do they change churches so often? How many are we losing to other denominations, and why? To what denominations? How many are we losing to secular jobs? Doubtless some of you could enlighten me on many of these questions. These are only intended to illustrate a type of self-study I believe to be needed. And certainly no group of people are better qualified to lead in such a self-examination than our seminary faculty. We have seen in Vatican II the example of the Roman Catholic Church struggling with the problems of self-examination and of adjustment to the modern world. Out of it have come some changes which I'm sure most of us never thought we would live to see. While we wish the Council might have gone farther in certain directions, much progress was made, and we were furnished with a fine example of a great Christian body trying to take an honest look at itself. Southern Baptists would have to approach a critical self-analysis in a different way, perhaps in a more piecemeal manner. The Baptist education study task may be a beginning, especially in its efforts to take a fresh look at the matter of the separation of church and state in the realm of higher education. The effort is obviously being made in that study to escape the fetish of consensus by refusing to take votes in recognition of the fact that the truth is not necessarily discovered by majority opinion. Whatever form such a self-examination takes, seminaries perforce must play a leading role in it. The denomination can rightfully look to the intellectual centers of its life for leadership in all such matters as these, which I have ventured to call to your attention, and in many more besides. As one of Southern Baptist's most vigorous institutions, you stand on the frontier between the past and the ever-beckoning future, with a vast host needing, if not always asking for, your leadership. As a torchbearer and a pioneer, you will make sure that the light is clear and the march is forward. And I can hear those who come after you saying, as they think of your worthy service, "We are but Epigone, the afterborn."
We appreciate the critical intelligence and the Christian devotion of the man of faith who has spoken to us, and I trust that we shall remember his message. after the singing of the seminary hymn, which was written by Professor Edward A. McDowell, Dr. Alvin H. Hobson, our trustee from Alabama, will pronounce the benediction.
May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you and those you love, now and forevermore. Amen.